Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill, and welcome back to our study in the book of Acts. So after the door of faith to the Gentiles was open in chapter 10, everyone's happy, right? No, not quite. In fact, this chapter, 11, opens up with Peter being called into question for daring to actually fellowship and share a meal with Gentiles. Gentiles who, by the way, have just received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The apostles and other believers in Judea heard about the conversion of the Gentiles in Caesarea. But Peter gets in trouble with the group known as the circumcision. They appear to be Jewish believers who are convinced that these new male Gentile Christians must be initiated by circumcision to be fully accepted by God. So in verse 7 through 18, Peter goes to bat for his new Gentile brothers and explains the visions and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this obvious fulfillment of what Jesus promised with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The bottom line is this. Peter is saying, God did this and I am done fighting God. Notice in verse 18, Peter's accusers grow silent, and there's a rather condescending tone to their response, if I'm reading it right. They say this, "Well, then to the Gentiles, God has also granted repentance that leads to life." Meanwhile, verse 19 takes us back to what was happening elsewhere after believers began to scatter during the persecution launched after Stephen's death. Luke is filling in important historical details while at the same time deliberately moving toward the reappearance of Saul as a key leader in this Jesus movement. He tells us here that the gospel was reaching now into the northern reaches of Phoenicia, modern-day Lebanon or Syria, up towards that border, and into the city of Antioch, not to be confused with another Antioch that we'll come to later on in our study of Paul's missionary journeys. When the traveling evangelist reached Antioch, they preached the gospel only to Jews until some brothers and sisters from the island of Cyprus and the northern African city of Cyrene come along and preach Jesus to the Hellenist as well. And revival breaks out again. This is now the furthest outpost of the gospel so far. We read in verse 21, quote, "A great number believed and turned to the Lord," end quote. And think back to the spread of the gospel here now. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and Caesarea, a very Roman city in Israel, and now Antioch, deep into Gentile territory. Yet in Antioch, the outreach seems limited to Jews and Greeks who were Jewish converts. A very interesting thing happens here at the end of this chapter. Barnabas, the great encourager from chapter 5 and chapter 9, is sent by the apostles from Jerusalem to Antioch, apparently to help out in the training of these new believers. He also happened to be from the island of Cyprus. So this was kind of close to home, so he would have been highly qualified to relate to the locals. I love the description we get of Barnabas in verse 24. It says this, "A good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith." And then we're told that through his ministry there, many people were added to the Lord. When he gets there, he is so stoked to see the work of God, and he encourages them, of course, to be faithful to Jesus. And then he takes off for the city of Tarsus, like 50 miles or so to the northwest to look for Saul. And when he finds him, he brings him back to help in the work. Why? Well, maybe because Paul was also a bit of a local as well as a solid, respected Christian leader. By the way, this new church in Antioch will play a major role in aggressively fulfilling the Great Commission, sending out mission teams in different directions. But first, they build a real A team of pastors and teachers and prophets and evangelists and apostles. Remember Antioch. We'll visit this city several more times in our journey through this amazing book. It's also interesting to notice that we believers acquire a new name or a new label here in Antioch. Verse 26 says, "In Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." Christians, that means little Christs. It was possibly even meant as a slam, a term of mockery, but it stuck. Whoa. To be so like Jesus that we get called little Christs. What an honor that must have been to them. Well, this chapter closes with the mention in verses 27 to 30 of a group of traveling prophets who were moving around with an urgent message of widespread famine that was soon to come. Notice that we're told the name of only one of the prophets who brought this serious news. His name is Agabus, and we will come back to him later on in Paul's life. He shows up again. He was apparently a very respected voice to the church in those days, courageously delivering the word of God. He was so respected that his word was taken to heart, and believers began to prepare to help their brothers and sisters who would be most affected by the famine. They took up offerings in the churches and sent the money to the elders in Jerusalem by the hands of the couriers, Barnabas and Saul, jumping into action to even just carry the offering. Well, the main message of chapter 11 is unquestionably the spread of the gospel beyond the heart of the Jewish homeland. God is raising up new leaders for this work, Barnabas and Saul and Agabus, guys from Cyprus and Africa. The apostles are getting lots of help. Worshippers and workers are coming out of the woodwork. And these are exciting times, had to be exciting times to be alive. The key verse here for me would have to be the combination of verse 19 and 20, where we hear twice that those who came to Antioch both, here it is, spoke the word and preached the Lord Jesus. Salvation is a result of responding to a proclamation, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So don't be bashful in your witness. Speak for Jesus while you have an opportunity. And a couple of these new proclaimers will become household names, but they started out as just mere followers of Jesus Christ, Christians, little Christs in a sense. And they were greatly used by him to further his cause. So let's enlist in the cause of Christ ourselves and start right where we are to bring the good news to those that God is prepared to hear from us. Now jump into this chapter and may God bless you as you study it.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the Senior Pastor of Refuge in Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.